Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
This is calling from Daytime After Dark. So it's Friday night. Why am I saying January? July 7th. It's summer, people. Remember that. A couple of things before we bring up our guest. We will have a show next week, but we are going to be off July 21st through August 1st. So I decided I will remind everyone. And so, people, please call in. We have an exciting interview tonight. It's Nicholas Walker, and he's been in Austin Powers, a whole bunch of movies. And he was also on GH and One Life to Live. So let's welcome Nicholas. Hi.
Hey, Carly. Nice to hear your voice, and thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Okay, all day. Okay, who did you play on General Hospital?
I hope your fourth was a great one as well.
Oh, it was. You know, I mean, just staying home and relaxing and I live in an apartment, so we are not allowed to see fireworks, but that was okay. I mean, you know, fireworks cause fires, people. But yeah, how was yours?
It was great. We actually had a lot of fun with my kids. We went horseback riding, and we live in an area that's very high danger of fire, so I at night actually I do something called arson watch. We just try to keep the people from doing silly things with fireworks and starting big fires.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I know it's that time of year, and I know also that you know, it's dangerous. I mean, growing up, yeah, we have the biggest, you know, for the July thing. But, you know, the only thing that ever really caught on fire was my grandfather's hay. So it was better than it landed on the hay than the barn, because I think he would have killed us. But, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is awesome, having an arson thing. That is a really good idea. I never that. Sounds fun.
Yeah, and it's important. I mean, we actually, where I live in Southern California, we did have actually a fire the week before where the main thoroughfare was closed for a good week as they were putting out this fire. So, and I actually lost a home in 93 to a fire. So fire is a real threat.
Well, yes, it is. So people, be careful. And
be careful.
Yeah,
don't light a match and throw it out, or don't flick a cigarette out of a car. Just put it in the ashtray, and then you'll save animals and wildlife and property and sometimes human lives.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I totally agree. So all day I was racking my brain. Who did you play on General Hospital?
I played Jimmy O'Herlihy.
Okay. So
and Jimmy O'Herlihy was a disturbed young man who was the cousin to Kate. And I had a Scorpio and I were sort of at odds with each other. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you were the one. Okay, you were the one he was at odds with. And you're talking about Robert Scorpio, right?
Yes.
If I would have known this, and I didn't know this until you started talking, I just had Tristan Rogers on the show a couple of weeks ago.
And
he's been on the show. Yeah, he's been on the show a couple of times, and, you know, I always yell at him. I'm like, okay, you cannot make up your mind between Y&O and General Hospital. Make up your mind, but by now he, you know, he's on Y&O. I'm like, come on, we need Scorpio back. But, you know, I don't think I'm getting what I want. But, so how long were you on General Hospital for?
I think that role was for a good year.
Oh, well, I mean, a year is a good thing. I mean, you know, it's a very good thing. A year is a very good time to be on the soap. Would you ever want to come back to daytime? Or would you ever, you know, want to try and pursue daytime again?
Sure. It all depends about the role. So I've always been an actor that been sort of fascinated with interesting, offbeat kind of roles. So if I started my soap opera career at 30 Rockefeller Plaza with the doctors at NBC,
mm-hmm.
and I played a young doctor called Dr. Brad Huntington III, and I was, you know, the classic hero, good guy, you know, and I thought, ugh, it's not really fun playing a good guy. And then I come from a theatrical background, so I did a lot of Broadway, and having that experience, I love flushed out, complicated type of characters. So when Capital approached me and they offered me Congressman Trey Clegg, and he was very complicated. I wouldn't say he's a bad guy, but he was not the hero type like Tyler McCandless. And that was a lot of fun to play because you play all the nuances and the humanity of someone who is complicated. And I think as human beings, we're all complicated. We're not just the good guy or the bad guy. So to me, if a role that was interesting and I could sink my teeth in, I would absolutely go back to daytime.
Well, and, you know, for, you know, the industry getting hit hard, only having 4 soaps left, which I still get mad at it when I think about it because, you know, they went from 18 to 4 in 20-year span. And people, I do blame Jose on this a little. I blame the trial of the century. I will always say that. They were making the fans watch soaps at 4 o'clock in the morning. That was crazy. And if we ever had another court case, all I'm saying, people, is put on Court TV. Put on CNN. You have, you know, so many good soaps by now. But I would, you know, I really would want to see you on, you know, probably Young and the Restless. I could see you.
Was on Young and Restless playing Beth Maitland's boyfriend. I was a young doctor for a bit.
People? They don't put Young and the Restless on your little resume, so now I'm mad at them.
No, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is not necessarily on the resume. People, you know, remember certain roles and forget others. They were trying to develop a love interest for Beth, and I just don't think it went anywhere. I don't think the premise was well developed or developed enough for us to explore that.
Well, yeah, and when For One Life to Live, you came on, and you played Max Hoden. And the whole thing about that, I've been reading up on it. It was like people thought Dame DePiper was never coming back. So, you know, it was like a thing for a while. And, you know, I remember watching it. I'm like, why is he leaving? Well, Dame came back. How did you like the One Life to Live experience? Since, you know, it's in New York, like Capitol is, and maybe the doctors, if it was in New York, is it different filming a soap in New York or L.A. in your eyes?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the New York experience is, it's a lot different, and I'm trying to figure out really how to distill the difference between the New York soaps and the L.A. soaps. I mean, most of the New York soaps are all populated with theatrical actors who are working on off-Broadway, off-Broadway. I don't know. I mean, the experience of playing Max Holden, you know, the lead of, you know, the ABC show One Life to Live, I took that as a challenge because I knew that it was impossible to duplicate another actor's performance in a role that I was adopting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, you know, broached the subject when they approached me because they approached me after I finished Jimmy O'Herlihy on General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, it's never successful to duplicate the character. And I understood their quandary is, but, you know, Max Holden was a primary principal character in all the storylines of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I understood that it was a challenge for them, for Jim to have left. And he did communicate he would never return. So, you know, it's very difficult, I think, historically, if you look at anybody who takes on a major lead of any soap operas, to actually successfully fulfill that shoe. And it was difficult because, you know, people's expectations, the audience's expectations, everybody was trying to say, Max Holden, there's no way that, you know, Nicholas Walker can play Jim DePiva. And that's correct, because basically the Max Holden that came to life on One Life to Live was Jim DePiva. And I could never copy Jim DePiva because Jim is Jim and I'm Nicholas Walker. So there was a storyline that was a bit far-fetched where my whole face was burned and, you know, and only in soap operas can they go to the ludicrous make-believe of making a storyline try to make sense. So that was challenging because I'm an actor who tries to base everything in truth, and I was reaching. And it was challenging and to make it real and to make sense. But I think we did it, and finally I think the audience accepted that my interpretation of Max Holden was different than Jim DePiva's, but it was equal to his performance. And some accepted it, and some did not. And then I think once, I don't know, I was in my second year or getting into my 2.5, 3 year mark, where finally I was able just to bring what I could bring to the role instead of always being compared to Jim DePiva, he decided to come back. So it was very obvious that, you know, it was my time to return to California.
Well, and really, you know, with the recast, it's always a mixed bag. because, like, the fans are expecting, you know, the different actors that come in and do the same thing. And I always hear everyone on the show when we are talking soaps, people give the recast a good 4 or 5 months because, you know, they need to get their footing in the ground and they need to really gain their character. And, you know, like for you, same department, yeah, that was a big suit-to-feel and people knew that. And I think that's why I yell at people and tell them, wait a moment, we cast our heart. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're doing this recast, but you're doing it in a new way. And so, you know, the fans need to be quiet, shut up for about 4 months, and just give the person, you know, see what happens from there.
I mean, I agree, but, you know, television is television, and people want to believe or live with their characters, and they feel shorted and they feel cheated when a major recast happens because they are so used to that actor in that role. I don't think it ever is successful. But I took it on because I knew all that walking in and I liked the challenge. So I always like challenges and it helped me grow as an actor. It tested my character and my mettle, and I think I became a better actor and a human being for having gone through that experience. And some of the cast members are still friends of mine today. I mean, the girl who played Andy, my sister, Bronwyn Booth, actually came to California and worked with me for a couple of years. So I always say, you know, we get the roles we need to learn something about ourselves, or we need to grow in a certain way that we're not anticipating to grow. And I think that opportunity was a challenging one, and it helped me grow. So I think it's all good.
Yeah, and I always say this, you know, it's really, really hard. And, you know, for, you know, people get used to it. But I thought you were really good in it. And like I, you know, people just have to remember, people, I'm yelling at people tonight. But not really. But no, they just have to, you know, give everyone a really good shot with, you know, seeing, you know, where it would be. And just, I was reading an interview you did with Soap Opera Digest, 2004, about, you know, and you made a great point about the two Todds and everything, and then how you name was Walker, and, you know, that's the name. The second Todd came in first, so I thought that was a very interesting way to put it on the interview you did.
Well, thank you for that.
You know, and so, yeah, so I was reading that also you were, you have been involved in the Kathy Ireland thing. So what, I mean, are you still?
Yes. So in 2001, I was approached by Kathy to develop with her as the chief designer of Kathy Ireland Worldwide, the outdoor division of her Life brand. And her mission statement is finding solutions, especially for busy moms. And she wanted me to develop the outdoor division of her brand. So we named it Jardin, which is French for garden. And we launched the brand at the San Francisco Garden and Flower Show, which is the premier garden flower show on the West Coast. And I designed a garden that was economical, interesting, child-friendly, design-worthy, and we received the gold. And that's how I started working with Kathy Ireland. I'm a design ambassador to the brand, and I work with her and her team to develop outdoor products that are sustainable, that are eco-friendly, that are economical, and solution-based. And
I love that.
Yeah, and she is an incredible human being, number one, but it is an honor and a privilege to work with her, and she's one of the few people that I have met in my career that is at her position and her fame and her wealth and is such a true, through and through, good person and lives truly and walks and talks her Christian principles. And it is such a joy to work with her and her team, and it's something that I continue to do till this day.
Well, yeah, and please tell her, if the other ones that come on the show and talk about her product, I would love to. I've loved you for so many years, and I think she'd absolutely gorgeous. And I don't think she's aged a bit. You might want to do that when you're sharing her, myself. Just like, yeah, but no, I think it's great, you know, because also we're doing the Elizabeth Taylor stuff too, if people didn't know that. But, so how long have you guys been doing this together?
We have been doing this since 2001. So it's been a good, almost 20 years. So it's great fun. I mean, she was, she was a very good friend of Elizabeth Taylor until she passed. And she introduced me to Elizabeth, and I was fortunate to work with Elizabeth for 7 years until she passed. So,
you worked with Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah.
I am so jealous. That would have been awesome working with her. Both of them. And I think if it wasn't for Elizabeth Taylor, the AIDS stuff would not have been so big, because she was, on the front line when
she
wasn't really talked about.
Right, and not only that she was on the front lines, I mean, she initiated the fundraising for really attacking this disease.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of people who have AIDS are alive due to the heavy lifting that Elizabeth Taylor did in the initial days and every year until she passed towards finding a cure to that virus.
And I thought she did such a great job and always out there doing it. And, she just, I thought it was incredible for someone, with her clout in the Hollywood, she took a really good stance on, okay, if I do this, maybe some Hollywood friend of mine might turn away, because back then it was not known at all, what the disease, back then the disease was like a death trap, but not now. We have Magic Johnson's still alive. So, I just think it's great that, she was on the front foot And I'm very jealous of you that you got to work with her. That's not fair. I mean, that's great for you, but not for me, because I would have, that would have been awesome, because then, you know, she played Elena Cassidine on General Hospital. She played the original Elena Cassidine, and she Cruz Lugala. And, like, so I thought that was incredible. And I've seen in you thing, you've done a lot of movies. So how was it working on Austin Powers? My brothers love that movie, so they made me ask. So how was that, working on that movie?
Well, it was a wonderful experience because Mike Myers is very funny, very talented, and most of the way we shot the scenes I was in were all improv. And I love improv. So he would set the tone, the environment, and then he'd say, okay, let's just play. So it was a lot of what I call creative, very liberating, joyful play with Mike Myers and the cast of that particular Austin Powers. So to me, it was a pure gift, because I couldn't believe that he said, well, you know, the script is a script, but let's flush it out. Let's do this. Let's pretend we're doing this, and let's see where it takes, where it takes us all. So we would just kind of go with his lead and just kind of follow him and just have fun.
Well, oh my God, yeah, that must have been really good. I mean, that movie was really, you know, a really good, you know, box office movie. But you know,
it was it was my first out of all the movies, because I've done a lot of independent films, right? So some of the independent films, like I've done, was with Sally Kirkland. And sometimes they disappear. They, you know, you do a great film, and either people get it or they don't. And then either they get the publicity and they shine, or they just kind of disappear and no one has ever heard of them. But I was shocked by my first residual check from Austin Powers, because it was a success. And let me tell you, when a movie is successful and everybody wants to see it, you get big fat checks. And I almost fell over when I first got my first big check.
Maybe you sort of sat down and then opened it. I mean, then you will not maybe fall over, but, you know. Yeah, I mean, I heard that. So when a big movie like that, you know, is, you know, if the box office does really well, you know, that means the actors, you know, get paid more, right? Is that
well,
how
yeah,
the
I mean,
whole
what happens was is that more people want to buy the movie. More markets, you basically, the movie, if it's successful and a big box office hit, more markets are open to receive the movie. The more markets and exposure you have, the more residual income comes in.
That is awesome. And I mean, that movie, you know, it's still, you know, today, I mean, so like if a movie like Austin Powers, let's say, is on TV, so even now it's on, you know, a lot of movies, I mean, a lot on cable and stuff. So do you guys still get that, or do you get this movie sales?
No, basically, when it starts trickling down into cable and late night TV and all of that, you know, the thousands of dollars go down to hundreds of dollars, go down to tens of dollars, and then as it gets older and older, it gets down to cents. I mean, sometimes the you'll laugh at this. The lowest check I ever got was 3 cents. And I said, why do you even, you know, waste the money? Because my check is less than the postage stamp.
Well, I never knew that.
Yep.
Well, 3 cents. So it cost 25 cents, people. Well, back then, probably. Or now, it costs 45 cents to send. Okay, that is the most crazy thing I've ever heard, but I think it's funny in a way. And also, you know, that movie, you know, was great, but also, you have been in a lot of movies, and, you know, what has been your favorite movie to be in?
That's a good question.
I know.
I mean, they become favorite in different ways. I love the Austin Powers movie because it was so liberating and fun to work in an improvisational setting with Mike Myers. I loved working with Sally Kirkland because she's such an interesting actress to work with. I did a movie in Greece, and that was an interesting part of time in my life where I needed to be away, and I played a biblical character for Paul the Apostle in Greece, in the real monuments, in the real footsteps of St. Paul that's depicted in the New Testament in the Bible. So, you know, they become favorite for different reasons. So those are, I would say, my top three for now.
Well, and, you know, I think you should be in, like, a, you know, Hand the Rocks the Cradle kind of movie. I think you would do really, really good in, like, a movie like that. You know, because, you know, both, like, action but suspense.
Yep.
And I think you would do really well.
No, I like suspense thrillers. So, Carly, maybe you can be my agent and find me my next movie.
Okay. Done.
Okay.
I will. I mean, yeah, because, you know, like, okay, people, do not watch Hand That Rocks the Cradle at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I did that the other night. I'm like, it was on, and I'm like, okay. I have so many shows on my TV, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here and watch it. And about an hour into it, you know, the lights were out. It was, I'm like, okay, this was not the best idea you have because, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You really don't want to wake anyone up. So I just, you know, I'm never seeing that movie at that time ever again. So when you're not, you know, doing movies or working with Kathy Ireland and all that, what do you do for fun?
Well, for fun, I've been blessed with having 3 boys and 1 girl, so I have wonderful children. And we live on a ranch with lots of animals. We love animals, so I love playing with my children and interfacing with all our animals, and we have lots of fun. I mean, like July 4th, my wife rode one of our horses. The boys rode their ponies. I had 4 dogs, and I was on foot, and I wanted to get some cardio. So I basically ran with the 4 dogs up a mountain, chasing my wife and my kids to get some exercise. And, you know, that's the kind of fun I like to have. You know, we're a very active family. We're all athletes, and we like to run, mountain bike, surf, snowboard, ski, you name it. We're blessed to live in Southern California. So today we went to the ocean.
I remember.
Yeah, we did skimboarding. And you know, we just, anything outdoors. We love camping. We like hiking a lot. Actually, my younger boys love to play golf. So they got me into golf, and I'm learning how to golf.
Well,
so,
see, yeah,
I never thought I'd play golf, but I kind of like the game. It's a very mental game.
Yes,
it's a very zen game. And basically it's hiking with a set of clubs chasing a white ball over beautiful gardens. So
yeah, and hoping it goes into the little thing. See, I'm not patient enough for golf. I figured this out because the thing was never going in the hole for me. I was getting mad, and I ended up, you know, kind of throwing the golf club in a wall right by the river because it was just driving me crazy. I'm like, okay, you know, you know, because of it. But so during football season, do you guys are you guys a big football family?
We're a big European football family. So, you know, because I was raised in Europe, you know, football for us is soccer that you guys call it here. So, yeah, we're big European football fans. We play soccer. I've coached soccer. American football, I wasn't really raised on, so I don't really watch it or understand it much. To me, it looks like a derivative of rugby, but with a lot more protection. But European football, I can tell you a lot about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up, and, you know, my grandfather was, you know, every Sunday was football. So out of all the grandkids, I'm the one that has all these football knowledges. And my teacher in school would go, you know, if you can remember football things, but you cannot remember science. And I said, yes, because science is boring. Science and math, forget it. But hand me a history book or whatever. I'm great at that. That's why, when I decided to do the radio show, I have so many facts in my head that a lot of people don't remember. And, every time I have an actor on, and I know their character inside and out, and sometimes we end up arguing. They go, I did not do that. I'm like, yes, you did. And I give them the year and then see. They go, how do you know this? I'm like, because I have this memory that is really good, you know, for, you know, that. And if I could just use my mind for good instead of evil half of the time, that might be good too. But with you having, you know, boys and only one girl, I kind of feel sorry for you, Dollar, because I grew up with two brothers and a sister. But when you're the only girl in the house, I really feel sorry for her because, you know, she's only good. But when she gets older, she can be up on her brothers. Oh, has she done that already?
She's already done that. And she's, you know, she reminds all her brothers, hey, I'm daddy's only girl. So she has a special place because she's the only girl. And she's more like a Tom girl, so she keeps up with the boys. She actually is a very good soccer player and actually shuts them down all the time because she plays defense. So
they
respect her. They respect her, and she's fast.
Well,
so,
because, you know, my mom always told my brothers, you know, if your sisters come after you when they are older, don't get mad at me because I warn you because, I mean, they were awful. And the only revenge I could even think about getting on my little brother was super gluing the toilet seat because every night they would not put the toilet seat down. I was sick of falling in.
Yeah.
Well, it would have gone great except my dad was the one that went the bathroom and got stuck, and
oh no!
Ever since then, I'm not allowed to play with super glue because of that little incense. But you know, you know, I always tell, like, my nieces, you know, because, you know, it's the opposite that they are three girls and one boy, but I remind them, I go, yeah, once your brother gets older, you better watch out because it's not going to be pretty. So, you know, oh, but we better take some calls before I get cured. And when I say that, I'm not kidding. Okay, 707, you're on there.
Hello, this is Corey. This is the guy known as Alvin George. It's not my real name, but, like, Nicholas Walker, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Right. Yeah, it's my understanding that you're on you had a recurring role in Santa Barbara as a character named Frank Goodman. Like, how was it like to work on that show?
Well, that show was, I mean, all the shows are great to work on. That particular show was interesting just because I never played a child molester before. And rather than making it sort of superficial and just a terrible human being, I had to flesh out the character to make sure that the audience started to, instead of just hating him, understand that he also was a victim. And he was molested as a young man, a young child, and that's why he became a child molester, because that was the only thing that was familiar. So it was very interesting for me to take on a role that most people hated you for, and I got, you know, really intense hate mail, etc. But as the writers and I started to develop the humanity of this person and try to get some, show the heart and the hurt and the woundedness of this human being, then it changed. So it was a very interesting sort of roller coaster ride emotionally for me as an actor to inhabit someone like Frank Goodman, who was a child molester because that's all he knew from early on as a boy. So, and it was nice to reconnect with Kim Zimmer, because my first soap opera was The Doctors on NBC at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, and she was the lead of that show with she replaced Kathleen Turner, and then Alec Baldwin and I started our acting careers on camera on the Doctors at NBC. It was nice to reconnect with her because she was playing a lead on Santa Barbara at the time that I was playing Frank Goodman.
Right. Like, it's my understanding that you were born in Bogota, Colombia. Like, what's your ancestry? No offense.
No, there's no offense taken. I was born with my twin brother in Bogota, Colombia. If you're asking me my ethnic background, my DNA ethnic background, I am half Irish, because my mother was 100% Irish, and I believe my father was English-German. So the only reason we were born in South America was that my father's job took him to South America, and we obviously followed my dad wherever he worked.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Walker, like, for answering my questions. Like,
no, my pleasure. Do you have any other questions?
I guess not. Like, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling
bye,
in.
Bye, Evan.
Bye.
Okay, so now, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey. Hey, Nicholas. How you
hey,
doing
Bobby.
Tonight?
How are you?
Great. First of all, do you still keep in touch with Alan Baldwin, or since he's been playing Donald Trump and you have, and you kind of kept out of touch with him because you figured, I don't want to just end up having to vote for a guy who I don't want to be still friends with somebody that plays the President of the United States who ruined our lives.
No, I when, let me see here, about 20 years ago, maybe, I bumped into Alec in actually an acting class. Professional actors take something we call master classes just to keep our, our technique, our chops on. And he happened to be in the same class that I was in. But that was probably the last time I saw him.
Right. Well, just remember, if he ever invites you to come on Match Game, that would be one heck of a reunion right there.
I never thought about Bobby. Bobby, that is very, I didn't think about it until you said that, Bobby. Very good.
Yeah. Now, which Austin Powers would you in? Because I've seen all three of them, but I'm probably not sure if it was the first, second, I'm not thinking with the last one with Beyonce, but I'm thinking about one of the other two.
The number two film.
Oh, the second one. Because I think I remember, would you be interested if they were to bring back Austin Powers? I mean, if they were to do another Austin Powers movie, because I've heard that being buzzed around and stuff like that. Would you be interested in doing something like that? Because it would be great.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, to me, Mike Myers is a comedic genius, and he's very respectful for fellow actors. And he sets a great tone for all of us to explore and to have fun in an improvisational way. So,
right.
You bet. Absolutely.
Right. It would be great to also work with Mini-Me Vern Troeger again, because he became pretty popular since after that movie right there, where he got other roles on other TV shows and reality shows and stuff like that. So it would be great to work with that little kid again.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
But I don't know which Mike Myers character from the movie that I might be safe with. Would I be safe with him as a fat Scottish guy, or would I be safe with him as a gold member, or just as Austin Powers? Because he did like four or five different characters in all the movies that I've seen. So.
Yeah, I mean, to me, my favorite is the Scottish guy, because he's just so funny.
Yeah,
I don't know. I love that character, the Scottish guy.
And what was it like to work with Heather Graham? Because I've seen her in the Hangover movies and I think she's a great actress in her own right. And this movie.
No, she is absolutely is, and she's as beautiful physically as she is in her heart. I mean, she is a.
Right.
Lovely, lovely young woman, and, you know, also what I loved about her is that she was not afraid to be herself and to be, you know, take the time that she needed to do her transcendental meditation, and she was very proud that she said, listen, I need 20 minutes, and I, you know, I really like to honor my meditation, and she was just, you know, go in the corner somewhere and meditate for a half hour. And I thought that was so moving to see someone being so true to themselves.
Yeah. I understand why the guys from The Hangover probably just say, well, just because we played a bunch of party guys in the movie didn't mean that we have to work with a talented, young, lovely lady like her. And I totally agree with the guys that were in The Hangover movie with her. I totally agree with that. But listen, it's been great talking to you. And like I said earlier, if Alan asks you to be on Match Game, just don't be afraid to just come on there and just be a guest panel.
I'd be happy to. And nice talking to you, Bobby. And thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold. So.
Sure.
And the last call of the night. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. How you doing?
Good, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's nice to hear your voice, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to say, I think you were doing a great job at Matt Hovland. I think you were doing a good job.
Well, I appreciate that. I tried to do my best, and you know, it was an interesting ride. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Okay, you also worked on Frasier and Seinfeld. What was I like to work on that?
Say that again, please.
You were on Frasier and Seinfeld.
About Seinfeld.
And Frasier.
Oh, Seinfeld! Yes, was actually probably my favorite primetime show besides Frasier. Because, you know, it's interesting, you know, as an actor, everybody categorizes you. So at first I was a Broadway actor, right? A theatrical actor.
Yeah.
So Broadway actors, theatrical actors, you know, most people say, well, you can't do TV. Well, then I did TV, and then I played a good guy, and, well, I could only play good guys. And then after a while, I did soap operas, and I played all a range of different, what I call dramatic characters, right?
Yeah.
And then they said, well, he's a dramatic actor, so he can't do comedy. And I always like to kind of prove people wrong. So when Seinfeld called and said, hey, we'd like you to come in to do Elaine's boyfriend for a while, would you be interested?
Yeah.
I said, absolutely. So, and I was supposed to play this homeless guy, right?
Yeah.
So, I didn't shave for 2 weeks, and I came with my dirty work clothes and boots and everything like that. Didn't wash my hair for probably a week, and I kind of looked what I thought was a homeless guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I auditioned, and you know, everybody started laughing, and they said, well, we didn't think you were funny. We didn't think that you could do comedy. I said, I love comedy. So it was a great time for me because, you know, playing dramatic actors, dramatic characters as an
mm-hmm.
actor is, you know, it's fun. It takes a lot out of you sometimes. So playing comedy it's like Noel Coward. You know, he says, keep it light, bright, and trite, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to play Seinfeld, the homeless guy, in front of Elaine was a lot of fun for me because it was not what I typically do. And then from there, they threw me over to Frasier. And that was a fun one to do as well. So I love comedy as much as I love playing drama. So, and it's always a pleasure when you get cast playing both sides
yeah.
of the street, if you will.
Yeah. Also, on Capitol, you work with Cat Walter and Wright and Captain Towers. You work with them. Jeff
yes.
Walton. What would
yep.
they like to work with?
Say that last part again.
What would they like to work with?
Jeff Walker.
Jeff
Walton James, who played Kelly?
Yes.
Yes, and
mm-hmm.
Captain Towers. And Captain
yeah.
Towers.
She's still a friend, and she's a great actress, and I was very happy for her when Capitol was canceled, that Young and Restless picked her up, and she's still there on that show today, and she'll probably, you know, be with that show till the very end. So I hope they don't cancel that show. But it was always an honor and a privilege to work with her, especially on our show playing Trey to her Kelly. It was a special connection we had, and I have a lot of fond memories of our working relationship.
What about Constance Towers? You work for Constance Towers.
Now, Constance Towers is one of the great ladies. She has class, she has humor, she has beauty, but all that is nothing compared to her heart. She has a huge heart. And I always joked, I said, you were on the wrong side of the track because I was always, you know, attacking the McCandless clan, and she was the matriarch of the McCandless clan.
Yeah.
But I always loved Connie Towers. She was a great lady. We were very fond of each other. And, you know, we always say, if I would be attacking her as Trey to her character, I would always apologize. I said, sorry, I'm just saying the words, and, you know, I love you, and I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. No, Connie Towers. I mean, I love that show. You know, probably out of all the shows I've done as an actor, I think Capital was very special because we had a very interesting mix of actors. We had old Hollywood with people like Rory Calhoun and Richard Egan. And then we had, you know, the inimitable Carolyn Jones, who played Morticia. And Ed Nelson, who was on Peyton Place. I mean, we had the cream of the cream of the best actors available. And then John Conboy, who was the visionary and the creator of Capital, who actually also made Young and Restless very successful and put Young and Restless on the map as number one. It was a very, we felt honored and privileged as a cast because we became family, but we knew we had something very special. And, you know, I still don't understand why that show got canceled, because I thought compared to a lot of shows, we were different. We were interesting. We were current. We were in Washington. You know, it's always interesting to see what shows stay around and what shows get canceled. And there's never really any rhyme or reason, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah. I used to talk about the cliffhanger, the episode with Kelly getting shot, then with Dark. Cliffhanger. The episode with cliffhanger.
Abbott? You mean?
No, they talked about the episode with cliffhanger. She got shot, and then went off.
Okay.
The cliffhanger kept, though.
I don't even know what you're saying, but yeah, that's.
That's why the episode was a cliffhanger. Because he got shot and then went to Dark. You don't know what happened there. The cliffhanger.
Who got shot in the Dark?
No, Kelly got shot in.
You're saying in the storyline where Kelly got shot?
And
how did I feel about that?
It went off at that part.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the end of the show, yes, it was, you know, it always has to be with a cliffhanger. So, you know, Sloan goes off with Ali, you know, Prince Ali.
Yeah.
And then they always do sort of a very dramatic cliffhanger to try to, you know, I guess it's the last ditch effort to try to get more audience and to prove to the networks that this show should not be canceled because there's so many people who will fight or write in or call in or you know, send emails to save the show. So sometimes the end of a show is perhaps reaching or maybe too overdramatic. And I think that's what happened with our show, is that they really wanted to do a cliffhanger to try to save the show. And that, you know, once the executives on the network level makes a decision, it's very seldom that a show ever comes back.
And there's no rhyme or reason, like you said. David, is that the only thing you want to ask them?
Thank you for answering my question.
My pleasure, David, and thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, and nice talking to you.
Same here.
Okay, take good care.
So yeah, we would love to have you back, and I will get you in the movie. I'll get back in daytime. I have power. Well, I think I have power, but I have a lot of really good guys in this industry, like Zayety Peck, Christoph St. John, you know, those guys. And I would love, God, if you went to Young and the Restless, I think you would have a great time.
I would love to do Young and Restless. I mean, I think it's an excellent show. And if you can help me get back on with a very interesting character, I would love to do it.
Well, yeah, see, I have a couple, you know, interesting characters in my head right now for you, and I will let you know, you know, and I will be talking to people because everything, all the soaps, so, you know, all on the West Coast, so, you know, and that's hard for a lot of people because, you know, some of them were, you know, when all my children got cancer, you know, everyone, before they got cancer, they moved to LA, and, you know, I think it's really hard when the East Coast people need to get jobs on the West Coast, but I think people should be able to get better plane rides and better mileage because of everything, how everyone is traveling. I think the airline need to, like, give people more, like, miles or something because, you know, when you work that much, you know, it's really hard going from the East Coast in the West Coast.
It is hard because I experienced that myself. I was living in Los Angeles when they hired me to play Max Holden. And I flew almost every weekend. And after a while, it gets old. It's not a fun commute, let me tell you.
Exactly. But, okay, so, but no, we want to have you back. So, and let me know whatever you're doing. And if you and Kathy Ireland get another project up and running, let me know. I would love to have both of you on because, you know, you guys need to promote the heck out of all the stuff. And I know Twitter, Facebook is great, but I think coming on the radio show and promoting it might actually help you guys because, you know, I have a weakness for online shopping. So, yes. But, no, thank you again for coming. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, no, and thank you, Carly, for, you know, inviting me on your show. It was an honor to be on your show, and I loved talking to you. And, yes, I would love to come back on your show, and then maybe you can help me get onto YNR at CBS because that would
be
a full circle
YNR
for me.
Well, yeah, I will try YNR. Oh, Dave, the reason why you cannot go on DH in my book is because by now they have a big enough cast. And, you know, it's crazy over there right now. But Dave's and YNR, even Borden the Beautiful. But my problem with Borden the Beautiful is it's only half an hour. So people might only get to see you really handsome face, like, I don't know, for 10 minutes a day. So in my little crazy little mind, that's not good enough. So, yes, I will try and get you back on an hour drama and stuff. But yeah, thanks for calling in and also have a great weekend.
Well, thank you so much, Carly, and you have a wonderful weekend. And again, a pleasure to spend an hour with you on the air. And all the best.
Me too.
Okay,
have a great night.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hey, boys.
Hey,
hello.
David.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey.
Great
interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things I learned about him that I didn't even know anything about because I then basically watched the shows that he was on because I was either too young for soaps at the time or was not familiar with his work. But once he brought up Austin Powers, I was like I think I may remember him, but barely until he.
He
was in Spider-Shack Me. He was in Spider-Shack Me.
And for me, you know, I still watching soaps when I was 8 years old. So, you know, I watched soaps practically
right.
my whole life, boys. And before
right.
we go, because I'm
right. and
well, I am
and
so...
Before you go on, I'm sorry, Carly. And before you go on, I forgot that Alan Baldwin got his start in soaps before he became a Saturday Night Live regular and the host of Match Game. I forgot about that. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's
I know
okay.
He's been
I mean,
days where you can probably get a chance to get him on the air with both SNL and Match Game, but I'm sure that maybe one day when he's free, you can probably just get him on the show.
Oh yeah. But okay. So you guys, you know, it's been a long week, but before we go, we have a show next week. Steve Burton is coming back as the ace. And we're going to talk about that more when he is, you know. But people, if you want to keep signing the Rebecca Bunning petition that is going around, go for it. And all I want to say,
right.
because...
I did text you earlier my idea of a possibility that she would be
nope.
to go on dates, but like you said, you don't think that's
nope.
a good idea.
They will not do that. They
right.
will not do that.
Right.
No, Bobby Bill will be
well,
no, Bobby.
Her on YNR in a good character, you know, reunite with Melissa Clay Aiken, who maybe went because who kind of did look a little
well,
bit like.
Well, yeah,
not
only she will reunite with who, she will also reunite with Amelia. They were all on AMC together.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I forgot the Fusion girls. I forgot there'll be a good Fusion reunion.
Yeah, so.
Only,
I have something to say before we get off.
I forgot about the Fusion girls.
Well, yes, I never did. but before we get off, all I want to tell people, I love that Carson is getting back together. I love seeing this. I haven't watched today's show, so don't tell me. And on Bowden the Beautiful, I need to do a one-minute rant, boys. Okay, this is bullshit. Okay, Quinn only kissed with Kiss. They didn't have sex. They did not. They kissed like twice. Okay, I am so sick and tired of people bashing Quinn all day long. When Katie slept with Nick White, Nick was still married to Bridget, and Brooke, you know, hold herself when with Wiz and Taylor. So please, people, can you Bowling Beautiful back straight? And I'm so sick and tired of people bashing Quinn. Quinn grew up without any Quinn grew up without anyone to really love her. And, you know, and it pisses me off that boat had to bring back Celia Carter for this. And it angered me. But Amber Canyon is also going back to Bowden Beautiful. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of months with that. So, yeah.
Mm.
But let's... And tonight, that's just the end tonight, and then we will be back on next Friday.
All right.
Okay,
all
yeah,
right, well.
And Maggie sends her love to you guys. She just wasn't feeling good tonight.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, you all have a great night, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, bye guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Bobby. Good night, Carly.